Now, Steve, it's been about 20 years since a pretty dramatic event happened in Hardin. Will you just, do you just want to start out by sharing with me some of your memories from 20 years ago?
Well, yes, but I don't think we have time to do all of it. It was a major, FEMA called it a 500-year flood, and it was a major flood. The water broke over a levee that was near the cemetery and started washing out graves, and before it was all over, there was almost somewhere around 5,000 graves washed out. We recovered around 125 and reburied them that we could identify, and the rest of them we reburied in a mass grave type things there by the in the cemetery, in another section of the cemetery. And it took about 4 years to rebuild the cemetery back to what it is today. And I guess in a nutshell, that's pretty well the experience of it.
Where were you when you first found out that the cemetery was having these problems?
Well, watching the flood water get high around here and helping people in town and so forth. And the governor was surveying the flood damage that was happening. And I was here at the house doing what I needed to do to get prepared for water around the house and all that good stuff. And Dean Snow called up and said we had a problem down at the cemetery. So the National Guard arranged to take him, and they picked me up, and we went down there in a duck to see what it was doing. And I guess that was a few hours after it first broke the levee.
What did it look like? I've got this picture of like an almost like cartoonish like coffin floating down the river. Was it something like that, or?
Yep. Yeah, they just popped out from the water pressure. They just mainly popped out of the ground. They did, the water probably did dig around some of them, but yeah, they just floating down with the current over the highway, and some of them reached Norburn.
Wow, that's what, 10 miles?
Yeah. And the furthest one was almost to the bridge at Waverly, I think, was the furthest one that we recovered.
Oh my gosh. And did you guys recover all of them?
Probably not. There's probably a few at the bottom of the lake that never did, that were buried in the bottom of the lake instead of floating away. I didn't have good records, and so there was quite a few graves. I rebuilt them, just finished that project by reading the stones in the cemetery a month before the flood hit it. And so there was a bunch of older graves that didn't have stones. So I really don't know how many graves or caskets or bones or whatever would have been left were not accounted for. Because these would be old graves.
I see. And when does the Hardin Cemetery date back to?
About 1820.
Oh, wow. Now, I've heard that the people of Hardin with this disaster kind of set a precedent for collecting bodies. Do I understand that was used in 9/11? Did I hear that right?
Probably was. They learned a lot of things from it. It was the first experience with this kind of stuff. One thing that they learned is there needs to be identification put in the caskets, and it instigated a, I don't know where all the states have done it yet or not, but Missouri passed a law that you have to have sealed records of the person that's buried put in the casket so that you have records, because that wasn't the process before the flood, and there was a bunch of people that we could identify. We found the caskets, but we didn't have any record of who they were.
That's pretty incredible, setting a multi-statewide precedent.
Yep.
Steve, I guess, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Oh, I can't think of it off the top of my head. I can probably tell you a whole bunch, hours of stories, but...
I see. And did you stay in Hardin throughout all the flooding, or did you leave at some point?
No, I stayed.
And you were one of few, right? There weren't many?
That's right.
All right. Well, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I can't think of anything else.